Yeah.
9 May, 2008. Remember, that's the date. I was officially creeped out by this show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, and we are celebrating our one-month anniversary. We made it, guys. We made it.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You son of a bitch!
Congratulations. That's fantastic. And Beth Ann McBride. Oh, my God.
Every time I open the studio door, I expect to see her laying on the ground out there.
I was talking to Katie during the break there and just speculating as to whether I'll be getting perky emails and phone calls all over the weekend.
Constantly.
If that happens, I'm farming them over to you. I don't know why I'm blaming you for this, but for some reason
it's my fault.
You were just saying, I don't get hypnotized, and I'm just let her deal with Buzz. I'm totally freaked out by this.
The weirdest moment of the whole thing, and there's many to choose from, whether it wasn't when I saw her just pass out into Gary, which is odd, but when you asked her the question about her underwear,
yes,
that was like you kicked
her. She didn't remember.
No,
right.
It was just too. How did you know I'm wearing black? Really genuine and weird.
Very.
That was fun.
Very strange. On Monday's show, we will have a major announcement about a big event that we're going to be doing about 2 weeks down the road.
Uh-huh.
This is for anybody that likes to ride their hogs, baby.
Right.
And we're working on it as we speak, and hopefully everything's going to fall together for this thing. But Memorial Day weekend here in the nation's capital is a huge deal for bikers, and we're going to tap into that, and I think you're going to be very excited with what we have to say. So if you are a motorcycle enthusiast, you want to listen to Monday's show.
I hate to sound naive, but is Rolling Thunder unique to D.C., or do they do it in other cities?
Rolling Thunder, as far as I know, I mean, I only know of one, and that's the big one where they have the Ride to the Wall.
Obviously, the Ride to the Wall
Vietnam Veterans
here.
Memorial.
It's just amazing.
They come from all over the country. It's an awesome spectacle. You've never seen so many motorcycles in your life, and it's going to sound great on the radio.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun, and knock on wood, one of the things we're going to do will involve some training for our listeners and a little display of acuity on a motorcycle.
Just sign the waiver and we're fine.
It should be fun. Yes. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't put the listeners on the motorcycles.
Bring your own. Put them on scooters.
But I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is that I walk in on Monday and I go into the office and I've got a perky producer I'm looking at.
Did you hear how open she is to romance this weekend? That is unusual. That's the change I noticed.
Yeah.
That's also scary.
So I'll handle those calls.
That's very scary.
I'm kidding.
Time for the final buzz of the afternoon. Here's Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. The big Obama victory party is set for May 20th. That's the date of the West Virginia and Oregon primaries.
Now, they're getting ahead of themselves. As much as I'd like to see them wrap it up, are they trying to put pressure on her by doing that? Is that what they're up to?
I don't know. Barack Obama himself is playing it low-key, coming out yesterday to say that he wouldn't count any chickens before they're hatched. But his people are reportedly planning a celebration and a victory speech May 20th.
That's the smart way for him to play it, though, because he can always blame his staffers.
Yeah, okay, but it's also, you want to maintain, really, at this point in time, I think you have to give her a little bit of her dignity, even though a lot of people are saying she's gone too far with it. I just, it's a delicate game. It really is. It's a lot of diplomacy.
Here's how delicate it is, in fact. Obama met privately yesterday with the superdelegates, and when he stepped onto the floor of the House yesterday, lawmakers surrounded him and congratulated him. Some of those congressmen are superdelegates who've been uncommitted until now. Publicly, meanwhile, Democrats are, as you said, continuing to defend Hillary's right to stay in the race.
Gosh, lighten up, guys.
Did you see any of the video of him on the House floor?
I did, and it really
was like hero stuff. It was a little out of place,
It was out of place. You know, and it's just, if that does not show you what American politics are all about.
Showboat.
You know, oh, absolutely. And I'm not taking anything away from Barack Obama.
Right.
It's just these people around him. It's just like, oh, you know, all these congressmen, oh, I want a PC of it. I mean, these are the people that were that were non-committed. And, you know, the people that didn't pick a candidate, to me, I don't have a lot of respect for, including John Edwards. It's like, make your decision. I think it's purely political if you're not coming out.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, many months ago, you knew who you liked, you knew who you preferred, you knew who you thought would be the better president. Why didn't you come out then and do it? Because you're just being a slimy politician.
I haven't seen a display like that since you walked into the Dan Mason luncheon.
yes, later. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you.
That's Mike O'Mara.
Thank you.
Super disc jockey.
Rob.
Available to speak at your luncheon.
You know better than me. It could have gone either way.
Oh, absolutely.
We had
the tapes ready to go.
Nice job. You're fired.
Senator Clinton, meanwhile, told USA Today this week that she's the Democrat preferred by more white people.
Whites in both states who had not completed college were supporting me. And in independence, I was running even with him and doing even better with Democratic-leaning independents. I have a much broader base to build a winning coalition on.
I've seen her. I've seen her broad base.
Hillary.
Okay, Hillary, maybe you are sticking around too long. Another hole. I do better with whites.
Sure.
But wait, there's more. She says something similar here.
Okay. That found how Senator Obama's support among hardworking Americans, white Americans, is weakening again.
Remember, okay. Hardworking Americans are white Americans.
Hillary.
To hear her tell it.
Go back to Chappaqua.
She might be sleepy, Mike.
Just 6 to 7 hours. Don't need 8, don't need 9. 6 to 7 hours of steady sleep.
Yeah. She never spoke like that before she met with Superdelegate Gary Conrad.
And she was hypnotized. Play that second tape again. Yeah. I want everybody to literally listen how exhausted she sounds on this tape.
Clearly.
Found how Senator Obama's...
Listen to her.
Senator.
Senator.
That found how Senator Obama's support among hardworking Americans, white Americans, is weakening again.
Ooh. By the end of this campaign, if she sticks with it, I mean, she'll be campaigning in Oregon and just going, I just want to say the people that supported Hillary, I'm in this thing, God almighty, I'd like a Hostess cupcake.
Mambo banana to the dog.
Well, it's happened to Bush, but that's because Bush has just been president for so long.
Well,
he sounds different now than he did at the beginning. Uh-huh. I mean, he always not smarter.
You don't think?
He always mangled the language, but now he's doing the whole thing with, Laura and I are just really happening in Crawford, Texas.
Good luck to ye.
Looking forward to the lame duck presidency. Thank ye.
The Obama campaign responded by calling Ms. Clinton's remarks untrue and, frankly, a little disappointing.
No, they're taking, and they're all like at each other now, taking full advantage of her fatigue.
And they're handling it like a father would. Well,
we're disappointed.
Poor deer.
Yes.
What a poor deer.
I'm not angry.
Sorry,
I'm just disappointed.
Actor Alec Baldwin tells 60 Minutes he might run for political office.
Oh, good.
He can't do that. He's Paul Schwede.
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, one of the reasons that I think that you should elect me are my sweaty balls.
Baldwin also talks this Sunday about his very public divorce and custody battle with actress Kim Basinger, including the phone message he left for his daughter. Here's part of
that. I want to tell you something, okay?
Oh, God.
And I want to leave a message for you right now, because, again, it's 10:30 here in New York on a Wednesday, and once again, I've made an of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go and I make that phone call at 11 o'clock in the morning in New York, and if you don't pick up the phone, at 10 o'clock at night, and you don't even have that god phone turned on, I want you to know something, okay? I'm tired of playing this game with you. I'm leaving this message with you to tell you, you have insulted me for the last time. You have insulted me. You don't have the brains or the decency as a human being. I don't give a damn that you're 12 years old, 11 years old, or that you're a child, or that your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass who doesn't care about what you do as far as I'm concerned. You have humiliated me for the last time with this phone. And when I come out there next week, I'm going to fly out there for the day just to straighten you out on this issue. I'm going to let you know just how disappointed in you I am and how angry I am with you that you've done this to me again. You've made me feel like and you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me with this god phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me, so I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are.
In spite of all that, Baldwin says he's ready for the public scrutiny he will face if and when he runs for office.
Two things. Yes. The number one tenet of the Bible that I pay attention to is judge not, lest ye be judged.
That's right. That's
awesome. I really do believe in that. I mean, the fact is, I'm going to screw up in my life. Mm-hmm. Everybody screws up. That's what... I just have to say this. I am a father of a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. I don't see any, sir, and I'm a divorced father, too.
Yes, yes.
I don't see a circumstance as far as speaking to my daughter for that length of time that way. I get mad at my kids, you know, if they misbehave or something like that. But just that onslaught is But, you know, at the same time, when I say that, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. You know, if I wanted to be in contact with my daughter and I felt like I was being manipulated.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's so hard when you're involved in a divorce situation. But that, you know, I think maybe not a really good idea.
Over the line?
Not a good idea for Alec maybe
to
be talking about running for office. A little too soon.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe so.
I know 30 Rock's getting good numbers, but come on,
he
Alec.
He does have a book coming out very soon about divorced fathers and their parental rights. So he's definitely formed some opinions after what was a very ugly and very public divorce.
And remember, he did a whole hour on The View to apologize.
Well, and there are websites for that, and there are websites for divorced fathers also. I mean, they're really, I could go on for hours about that situation because I think really things aren't necessarily all that equitable in that situation.
We've heard that tape of Alec a few times, and when you hear it, do you imagine him as the skinny Alec Baldwin or the fat Alec Baldwin?
I certainly don't remember him as the Alec Baldwin from Beetlejuice.
No.
Wow. Or he's wearing the checkerboard shirt.
But I don't think he's real fat because if he got that worked up, I think it would kill him.
I think a fatter Alec Baldwin is a funnier and a happier Alec Baldwin.
You can see that in the Saturday Night Live sketches.
Yeah, he's probably a little thin when he called his daughter.
He says he'll never speak to his daughter like that again when he's being recorded.
Did he really say that?
He really said that.
That's funny.
Maybe next year it'll be Idol Gives Up. Although it still dominates the top 10 in the ratings, American Idol hit another 5-year ratings low Wednesday night with just under 23 million viewers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mike.
That's significant.
Your fault, Rob.
This is the point in the Idol season when the ratings usually go up. With the exception of Idol Gives Back.
Listen to that crowd.
They're not happy.
Wow.
Show has not experienced any ratings growth since February.
All right, here is the deal here. Mm-hmm. You're talking about this hype that we got at the beginning of the season that this is the best crop of talent we've ever had.
And it was a lie.
That is the problem. Yeah. And they're going to have to, and this is not Simon, Randy, and Paula. These are all the producers that pay attention to getting
the... It's not Ryan either.
And they pay attention to getting the oddities that they're going to put on for the audition
phase,
shows.
Right.
They've got to spend more time really paying attention because you know there are thousands of talented singers that slip through the crack because, Randy or Paula or Simon had a bad day that day. Mm-hmm. And
might not have even made it to them.
Exactly.
And I feel so hoodwinked, bamboozled, if you will.
Yes, I like it when you use 1920s words.
Thank you, Mike.
And I'm going to get into my Model T right now.
We should have seen this coming because they went so far out of the way to tell us how this was going to be the best season.
Yeah, it's
when
horrible.
Obviously they knew the writing was already on the wall.
No, and you think of some of the talents that have come out of that. I mean, Carrie Underwood's a great example.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's just not going to be
Constantine.
There.
Constantine.
I mean, you're going to probably have I don't know. David Archuleta has potential to be one of these teen heartthrob guys. But outside of that, you think David Cook is going to sell a bunch of records?
No.
Do you think, what's her name? Saisha is going to do it?
Saisha will have the biggest career of this crop because she'll land on Broadway.
Yeah, she'll go to Broadway.
And it will be great.
But it's not the same, Rob, as selling records, and that's what they're trying to get. They're trying to get the pop idol.
That's true.
The first bass brawl of the season as our fact-based presentation continues.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.